Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. We're at facebook.com/radiocafe. And I want to welcome now Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. Welcome, Linda.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
So you have been over at the legislature for, what is it, almost 7 weeks now?
Yes, I think we have, 8 days left?
Okay.
It ends at Saturday.
At noon.
Noon.
Not tomorrow, but the next day,
yeah. And you can really see the work picking up, although we've had hearings into the wee hours starting like 2 or 3 weeks ago, but it'll be really intense now.
And that's when people make the best decisions.
Oh, of course, when they haven't had any sleep, they've been eating crappy food, and
yeah, and washing it down with Jolt Cola, which doesn't exist anymore. So how are, I mean, we have this, and we knew this when we started, but we've got this Republican House, Democratic Senate. How's that playing out?
Well, there's always tension between the House and the Senate because they're sort of competitive and getting their bills out and getting them over to the chamber. But it's quite exacerbated by the fact that the two different parties are in control of the opposite chambers. So there's been a lot of back and forth between the two. In fact, the majority leader of the House told one of the senators in the Public Affairs Committee that they weren't going to hear any of her bills in the House because she was killing their House bills in the Senate. And so that made the senators mad. And
they said, well, we won't hear any of your bills.
Right. So it's kind of back and forth. But there are bills from the opposite chamber in both of the other chambers. And so that will start to happen. It's happening in the committees now where they're hearing the other bills. But with 8 days left,
yeah. It's hard to get things through three committees.
Right. And usually when you get a bill over into the other chamber, you only get one or two committee assignments.
Right. And one of the strategies people have been using is to give a bill that they don't want to get past three committees.
Right. But it's very elevated tension between the two chambers and the administration.
And you feel it.
Oh, yes. Everyone feels it over there, and it's very chaotic, and everyone's on edge, let's say that.
All right.
And, of course, we still have the most important bill to pass in the legislative session, the budget. Yes.
So what do we have about that?
Well, the Senate Finance Committee has had the budget for about 2 weeks, and they have officially placed their amendments on it, which means they take what the House did and then they add things, subtract things, and they put a little more money in. And of course, we've got the new revenue projections, or an updated revenue projection, which we haven't really heard about yet. So we don't know if there's going to be any decreases in House Bill 2, but the Senate really has to pass out House Bill 2 this weekend, because then it has to go back to the House, and they have to either agree with the changes the Senate made, or they have to say, no, we don't agree, and then a conference committee will happen where they get together and work out any little tweaks to the budget. Normally, in almost every other session, the budget doesn't go to the governor. It doesn't matter who the governor is. It doesn't go to the governor till the last few days of the session. So that will be happening imminently.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing the details of that. Capital outlay.
Yes, that's the other hot issue. House Bill 2, the budget, is the first most important bill, and then capital outlay, and there's over $200 million of capital outlay. That's what we talk about on this show. It's pork, and everybody's got their little piece of it. Every legislator has their piece of it. It's interesting because the governor asked the House for them to give her all of their capital outlay to use for roads, And then the Democratic House members said, well, we don't agree with that. So they started filling out their capital outlay paperwork. And then the Republicans are going, well, why don't we have any? So everyone's done that. And, of course, that bill starts in the Senate, the capital outlay bill. And that has to pass out of the Senate fairly soon so it can get over to the House.
All right. Well, we will hear more about that. And those are things that, I mean, you think about budget and capital outlay, and they sound kind of boring, but they're really important because they're how the whole state works. And, mm-hmm. I mean, either your community center gets finished or it doesn't.
Right. The capital outlay, those are economic development money. That's money that's going directly in a community to hire people to work, hire contractors, and also to provide important services for doing things to the public schools, the community colleges, the city, the county. It is important money, and it can help with the economy.
Let's talk about driver's licenses.
Yes. Now, we know that the repeal of the immigrant driver's license, the undocumented immigrant driver's license, passed out of the House and has gone nowhere in the Senate. But last night in the Senate Public Affairs Committee, there was a hearing on a bill that two senators wrote, a conservative Democratic senator, John Arthur Smith from Deming, and Stuart Ingle, who is a Republican from the Portales area. They put together a bill that is sort of being touted as the compromise bill, because what it does is create two licenses, not two levels, but two licenses. One that would be real ID compliant, which is what the feds originally decided they wanted, but which have waived it for several years now. But a real ID compliant bill, which means a driver's license, which means you can use it to get on an airplane if they ever require real ID, if the federal government ever really requires real ID. And then another driver's license, which they would be equivalent in their recognition in the state of New Mexico. And anybody could get that non-real ID compliant driver's license. So it wouldn't just be for undocumented immigrants.
So people who say, I don't want to be in the system organized by Big Brother in which everybody has to comply to real ID, which is not what we want, whatever.
Right. Well,
libertarians who hate that kind of thing, they can get the old kind of driver's license.
Right. I mean, the whole idea of real ID was sort of like a federal driver's license that would be issued by the states, and it would meet all these requirements. Well, a lot of us, even liberals like me, don't think that's such a good idea. So if this were to pass, I'd probably get that non-real ID.
Right.
Of course, I have a passport, so that means I can get on an airplane if somehow they start requiring real IDs. But the idea behind this is that it's still got all those protections built into it, so you have to prove that you're... if you're undocumented, you have to prove you live here in New Mexico, and you have to have the insurance, and you have to have all the things that were built into the existing original bill that passed in 2003.
So basically, it would replace that bill?
It would replace the 2003 bill with this new approach of two different types. And we'll see how far that goes. It passed out of the Senate Public Affairs last night at about 9:30 on party lines, even though it was supposed to be a bipartisan bill. So it's quite confusing.
I'm confused.
Well, there were also some politics involved. Shocking, isn't it? Because there was evidently, excuse me, a rewritten substitute bill that was coming down from the governor's office to be discussed instead of the original bill, but then the original bill was the one they voted on.
All right. Let's go on to, let's talk about some healthcare issues. There's things having to do with vaccines, Medicaid fraud, some other issues that you've been following.
Yes, the vaccine issue is pretty hot because We've been hearing that children haven't been vaccinated because their parents choose not to, which we allow in New Mexico. We allow a religious exemption if you don't want your kids to be vaccinated. And there was a bill in the House of Representatives to get rid of that religious exemption and say everybody has to be vaccinated, and unless there's a health reason you shouldn't be, then you would have to do this. So it was a pretty intense hearing. A lot of people who believe that as a parent you should be able to decide whether your child is vaccinated for everything or not. A lot of them appeared at the hearing, and it was quite emotional and contentious, and actually that bill got tabled. The bill to get rid of the exemption was tabled.
So a lot of parents on both sides of the issue.
Right. And then another really important vaccine issue, which we've been dealing with in New Mexico, as it works now, the Department of Health buys all the vaccines for various types of vaccinations, and then they distribute it to the different providers who actually, you know, inject the vaccine to people. And the idea behind that was in the Department of Health, all the insurance companies would help contribute to that fund because their patients, their clients, are receiving the benefits of getting those vaccines. And evidently that some of the insurance companies were not paying into that fund, and so the Department of Health has like a $4 million deficit on vaccines. So there's a bill to mandate that the insurance companies pay the Department of Health to buy the bulk vaccines and then distribute them. And that bill is moving along. I think it's passed out of the Senate and is now over in the House.
That's a no-brainer. That's a bipartisan.
Yes, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Oh, and Medicaid fraud. This is stemming, of course, from the behavioral health shutdown over a year ago, almost all of the New Mexico behavioral health programs were replaced by Arizona programs without due process. And so this bill, which is Senator Mary Kay Papin from Las Cruces, this was a bill to say, to really detail and outline in law how you go about the due process of shutting somebody's business down, of saying, okay, you've committed fraud, and now we're gonna go through a process so that you have an opportunity, if you're being accused of it, to prove that you're not doing it before you lose your contract, before you're totally shut down and put out of business.
And before the patients who are your clients are left out in the cold.
Right, absolutely. And of course, that bill has passed the Senate and is in a health committee in the House now. And that, unfortunately, that's a controversial bill because it's from the Democrats, though it did have some bipartisan support passing in the Senate, it may not fare well in the House of Representatives because the administration doesn't really want that bill.
Okay, well, we look forward to hearing about that. That shouldn't be a bipartisan bill because there's some it should be a bipartisan bill because it's about some basic fairness and transparency.
Right, absolutely.
Let's talk about the environment. There were these various prevention bills,
preemption
bills that would basically not allow counties or municipalities to regulate themselves where extractive industries are concerned.
Yes, and everyone here in Santa Fe may remember that, about 5 years ago in Santa Fe, the Santa Fe County Commission, after an incredible amount of research, hiring consultants, created an ordinance that did not ban oil and gas extraction in Santa Fe County, but created a number of requirements for, if you're going to do this, this is how you have to do it. And they're fairly restrictive. I mean, it does protect the people of Santa Fe from having an oil rig in their front yard. So The oil industry, the oil and gas industry, they don't like these preemptive laws. The county of Mora simply banned oil and gas extraction. And, of course, they're having some trouble with that because the court ruled that you can't really do that. So these bills, which have been introduced in both the House and the Senate, would say to the counties, sorry, you can't pass any laws that restrict oil and gas drilling beyond what the state law says.
Right.
And so in the Senate Conservation Committee, there were a couple of bills that they didn't say that you couldn't pass those laws, but one of them said that you wouldn't get any severance tax money for roads or other buildings if you increase the cost of oil and gas extraction by more than 25%.
So basically that one is, you can pass those laws, but we will punish you financially if you do.
Right, right. And they had a vigorous debate on those bills in the Senate Conservation Committee, which incidentally is chaired by Santa Fe's Senator Peter Wirth, and he's doing a great job on that committee. And those bills were tabled, which means they are dead for the session in the Senate. But at the same time, the House passed a bill out of the House over in the Senate now that gives control to the State Oil Conservation Division of the state of New Mexico over all oil and gas extraction. And I think that bill will now go to the Senate Conservation Committee where it will probably be tabled.
So these preemption bills don't look like they're headed for success.
For passage, yes. And this there's always a tension between local government, county government, and state government, but this is one of those examples.
Very, very interesting. Shall we talk about lobbyists?
Yes,
you
I guess
being
we
one?
Have to, yes. Well, there was a very strong lobbyist control bill that started in the, that's what we kind of call it, started in the House, which would increase the fee that lobbyists have to pay because, see, we have to register and pay a fee for every single client we represent, and that goes into the Secretary of State's office, which is absolutely legitimate. It should be available for people to know who are we representing. This bill would have required a whole lot more than that. We would have had to say what our salaries were from each of these contracts, and we would have to register with it was kind of confusing, but we would have to every time we would have to register with the Secretary of State all the bills that we were lobbying on, and I'm not sure why I didn't really follow it too closely over there, but they stripped out a lot of those requirements. So the registration is still there, and that fee is increased, and who lobbyists represent has to be clearly articulated, and I think that bill will pass. So it tweaks it a little bit.
Okay.
And we have to reveal all of our contributions, and all we've always had to do that, and all of our expenses. I mean, a lot of lobbyists spend a lot of money wining and dining legislators during the session. So.
Right. Now, let's talk about education, bullying, things having to do with young people.
Yes. Out of the House has passed a bill that if you are truant, for if you're a student at a public school, or I guess charter schools too, if you're truant for 10 days and that's unexcused, the law requires there be a meeting with your parents. And if that is not a satisfactory meeting, then the school can notify the Department of Motor Vehicle that you need to have your driver's license. If you're a child who has a driver's license, that your driver's license must be removed, or that you should not, when you turn of the right age, you should not receive a driver's license. So it's kind of, if you're truant, we're going to take your driver's license away.
And that'll make it easier for you to get to school.
And that bill has passed the House. A version of it in the Senate, I believe, has already been tabled, so I don't see that passing. But it is a message, and if you've noticed, if you've seen the papers lately, there was a big article on Albuquerque Public Schools and how their truancy has dramatically increased, and in addition, their graduation rates have declined. Is that the reason? Who knows, but it's a hot issue.
Is what the reason? That the kids have driver's licenses?
No, that the kids don't go to school. It makes sense. If you don't go to school, the graduation rate might decline. Is that the only reason? I don't know.
And bullying.
Bullying. There is a coalition of people that have been working together for some time, led by Equality New Mexico, to really strengthening the anti-bullying law in New Mexico and have the school districts pay a little more attention to the fact that bullying really can impact a student's performance. And of course, we've had a high-profile death of a student a couple years ago, Carlos Vigil, who committed suicide because he was being bullied in school. So that bill was to really make our statutes a little stronger in each of the public schools would have to create a better policy around this. And that bill did die in the Senate Judiciary just a couple of nights ago.
Okay. Well, it is about 8:30, so it's time to go. Linda Siegel, next week is, I guess, our last legislative update, and then perhaps thereafter we will have a legislative wrap-up.
Yes, that would be great.
But we look forward to hearing the drama as it culminates next week, because a week from today, we will be 25 hours or something, 28 hours away from the very end of the session,
yes.
The final bell.
I look forward to that end. Thank you very much.
Linda,
Charlotte.
Thanks for being with us. We're going to take a break, and Kate Nelson will be with us speaking of the arts. Please stay tuned.